Very much indeed. Good morning, everybody. Great to be here with you. We are about to begin a new series, and if you've seen the church term card, which is at the back and it's also available on the website, then you will have seen that this new series is called Jesus's Prayers. And over the next few weeks, we'll be looking at the prayers of Jesus, starting with the Lord's Prayer. We're actually not going to go through the Lord's Prayer line by line in order. We're going to take it out of order. So we won't get to Our Father until Father's Day, which is when Matt is preaching. But we'll go through the Lord's Prayer. And then when we've done the Lord's Prayer, we'll be looking for 4 weeks at the inspirational words and prayer of Jesus in John's Gospel, chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17. And that chapter 17 will fall on July the 16th, which is the end of the series. And I'm mentioning that now because that is going to be a united service, falls well for the topic of prayer for unity. It's going to be a united service, but not here. Okay, it's going to be over at St. Andrew's, because we felt with United Services it was important, at least sometimes, for us to go on their turf rather than for them always to have to come here. So just heads up on that. July the 16th, we're all over there, packed in and probably flowing out of the door as well. Do put it in your diaries. But this series is also to tie in with the Archbishop's initiative, which you saw earlier in the notices, which is going to be this global wave of prayer from Ascension Day to Pentecost. That is the 25th of May till the 4th of June. And that's going to finish then on Holy Spirit Sunday, Pentecost. So I hope we'll have lots of focus on prayer up to that and during that. And also just thought it was worth reminding you about the Try Praying booklets, which many of you took, those little green booklets. I hope you did pray through it yourself and find that helpful and interesting, and actually maybe inspiring you at different moments when you picked up the phone or when you opened the door, and certain things just logged in your mind. You thought, I need to pray. And have you given it to somebody else? Don't let it sit on your shelf doing nothing. Give it to somebody. Lots of things then in prayer that are coming up. It was Tennyson who said, more things are wrought in prayer than this world dreams of. And I don't know what you dream of, but whatever we dream of, God can do that and more than that if it's in his will. And if we pray, we are going to find out some of the things that God is going to do. And some of those things will surprise and amaze us, because more things are wrought in prayer than the world dreams of. You've just heard Matthew chapter 6 and verses 5 to 15. In the same version, or the same passage in a different version of Luke 11, that prayer is prefaced by Jesus having a request from the disciples when they say, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Because we don't always know how to pray. We don't always get it right. But the disciples knew they needed to learn to pray. And so Jesus gave them this Lord's Prayer to help them. I think they had seen the powerful example of the way Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed at crucial moments when he needed guidance. He prayed all night. We have the chance to pray all day and all night in the 24/7 prayer. And I'll say a bit more about that later. But do take the chance to pray in the middle of the night if that will work for you. Little Jimmy finished his nightly prayer just before going to bed. And then he asked his dad what prayers were. And his dad told him they were little messages to God. Oh, he said quickly, yes, I see. And so we send them at night to get the cheaper rate. We have the opportunity to pray in the middle of the night, all night if you wish to. The disciples saw Jesus praying in that way, praying for strength from the Father when he was there in Gethsemane, praying for miracle breakthrough If you think of the story of Lazarus, of the raising of Lazarus, there in John 11, 41 and 42, Jesus prayed and he said, Father, I know you hear me always, and I'm praying this prayer so they all know. I know, but if I pray this prayer, they will know that I'm trusting in you. And then he commanded Lazarus to come out. Jesus prayed for those miracle breakthroughs. No wonder the disciples wanted to be taught how to pray. We need to know too. In the 10 days of Thy Kingdom Come, we will be praying for breakthrough, praying for the kingdom to come, praying for heaven to come down to earth, on earth as it is in heaven. We'll be praying now for our prayers to have an effect both in heaven and on earth. To give you an example of maybe how these things work, do you remember maybe in school you did some experiments with magnets and iron filings? If you ever did that, then you know if you get the magnet and you hold it above the iron filings, what do the iron filings do? They all stand to attention. And then if you move the magnet, they lean this way and that way. They are affected very much by the magnet. And long before the magnet has actually been in direct physical contact with the iron filings, something is happening. Well, you know it's because of magnetism, but prayer in a similar way is something which is invisible and powerful, and it has a spiritual effect on that which is visible and physical. So when we pray for the kingdom, we're praying that some mysterious effect is going to happen that's going to affect both heaven and earth, the invisible and the visible and the physical. But what is the kingdom of heaven that we're praying for? Well, you know that it is that future time or place or state, whatever it is, that state of perfection in God's presence that we call heaven. We want that to happen. But it's also not there in the future, but it's also right now, it's here. Wherever the king reigns, there the kingdom is. So where Jesus is acknowledged as Lord, where people submit to his leading and his lordship, both personally being a Christian and corporately being the church, there the kingdom of God is. So if you are a Christian, if you have submitted your life to Jesus, if you've been born again, whatever way you like to talk about it, and I hope you have, I hope each one of us here knows that Jesus is the King of my life. He leads me, he guides me, he directs me. He's the one I have to follow. If that's you, then there the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God begins in you. It begins in your submission to Jesus as Lord, and then it spreads out from there. But then not only individually, but when we're together as the church, there the kingdom of God is, because Jesus is Lord of the church. Jesus is head of this body, the church. And so the kingdom is where the King Jesus is in charge. I wonder if we could put up on the screen the chorus of that hymn that actually Caroline's already drawn attention to. The one, Build the Church. We didn't plan this. But there's the chorus that says something like, build your church, build your kingdom here. That's the one. Let's see whether that will come up, because it's a really great chorus, and I don't know it very well, but I was struck by it, and then when Caroline picked up on it, I thought, yeah, this really is God wanting us to take note of these words. Thank you. That's great. Look at those words. This is what it is to be praying for the kingdom to be right here where we are. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand, heal our streets and land, set your church on fire, win this nation back, change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here, we pray. That's an amazing prayer, and we should be praying that from the heart. And it starts with us individually and corporately as the church. So we are praying in that sort of way for people to know that God knows best, that God's will brings the greatest ultimate blessing. So we're praying for the church to recognize and regroup under the headship of Jesus. We're praying for the nation to return to the Lord and to pray. Actually, as they did in World War II, which is history for most people here. But you know, in World War II, the nation realized that their backs were up against the wall and they were called to prayer. There was a national call to prayer and people prayed. And then when things like Dunkirk happened and the Battle of Britain happened and they knew they'd been saved from Nazi domination, they knew that God had answered prayer for the nation. And I think this is another of those moments. And with the general election coming up and a need for our nation to know God's direction, it's a moment to be called to prayer. Thy kingdom come. For the nation to return. And then for friends and family and neighbors and all in our community to surrender to Jesus. But you know, in order to pray effectively for this kingdom to come, three things need to be in place. Firstly, a belief that the kingdom and the reign of God can break in. That it is possible and should be expected and hoped for and longed for. There's no point in praying for something that you don't think is going to happen. So let me ask you, do you believe that God's kingdom can break in here and now? Hope you do. What does it look like? Well, actually, this is a microcosm of it. The church, when it's acting well, the church, when it works properly, is a microcosm of the kingdom of God. It's alive, in touch with God and with his truth, Jesus-centered, in fellowship with one another and with him, reaching out to the world, to the poor, the needy, the lost, the last, the least. That's the kingdom of God, and it's already breaking in where we are, amazingly. But if we believe that it can be, and we're experiencing it here, then we also, even though it's not perfect, we need to pray that others will experience the kingdom of God. Secondly, there needs to be a hunger for that kingdom. Jesus hungered for the things of God. He knew that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me." It was that desire for the kingdom and to do the will of God that fed Jesus' hunger. That's how we need to be, with a hunger for the kingdom. How much does it matter to you and me that the kingdom breaks in? You know, when Jesus taught about the kingdom, he taught that it was a kind of secret thing hidden in the parables. And it wasn't just there for everybody to take or maybe leave. You know, things on a plate to think, maybe I will, maybe I won't. Jesus taught that the kingdom was something that had to be looked for, sought after, searched for, that you hungered for, that you had to actually dig to find the pearl of great price or the hidden treasure. It was something to be questioned after and sought after, to be hungry for. And somebody called the rich young ruler in Matthew 19, he was called to go even further, to sell everything he had so as to have the kingdom. And he couldn't do it. He went away sad because he wasn't hungry enough and other things mattered more. Are you hungry for the kingdom of God? Are you hungry for God himself? Hungry for his will rather than yours? You know our motto for this year. I'm sure you could quote it to me. How does it go? God says, "You will find me when you search for me with all your heart." Jeremiah 29:13. Some of you are quoting that with me. That's great. That's hunger for God, searching with all your heart. And prayer isn't easy always, and sometimes we get the words mixed up, we don't quite get it right, but God knows the heart. He knows what we really mean. There was a little girl who was praying for her lately deceased grandma who died during a very cold snap. And she was praying, God, please bless mummy and daddy and make it hot for grandma. Well, God knew what she meant. Is there a hunger for in your heart to see what God wants, the kingdom of God come, a hunger for God's will to be done here in Coombe Down, in Bath, then pray. Use these 10 days coming up, 24/7, to make a commitment to do so. Fill up a few slots on the 24/7 plan. Thirdly, so that we said there must be an awareness that the kingdom can break in, a hunger for it, and thirdly, just a desire to delight in it, to enjoy it. People will see that. When Jesus talked about the kingdom, he spoke of something that was to be enjoyed. He used images that were full of pleasure, banquet, feast, pearl of great price, hidden treasure. This was the kingdom of heaven, good news of the kingdom. And so we need to ask, does our life as the church or as individuals, does our worship, does our love for the people out there, does the love that we show them, does it indicate that the kingdom of heaven is the very best there is? That, wow, they're missing something if they're not in the kingdom of heaven. Is that how we come across to people? You know, Love Coombe Down, where we saw the photos just a minute or two and the actual event itself, that was a terrific expression of the kingdom of heaven. And that's why people who don't normally come to church came to that and said, oh, that was good. Can we do it again? Can we do it next year? Because God was in at the center, but it was full of the love of God and the kingdom of heaven was present. We need to delight in it in such a way that others realize this is something that they are missing if they're not part of it. Just a few practical details for how you can pray in the 10 days to come, 25th of May to 4th of June. There's a beacon event at the very beginning of the week in the Abbey, 7:30 on the Thursday evening, the 25th. It's actually a sung Eucharist with Bishop Peter preaching. So for some it will work, for some it won't. But feel free, there's the event. Thank you. And at the end of the week, there's an event down at Wells in the cathedral, which is going to be a prayer fair, and Bishop John is preaching at that, John Perry. But in the middle, there are these 10 days of individual prayer and prayer together. The churches of Monkton Coombe and Southstoke will also be open. There'll be aids to prayer in each church. Just turn up. The main thing here in Holy Trinity is for you to sign up for those 24/7, well, actually 24/10 hours of prayer. And there's the online link on the notice sheet, or you can get to it online on the website. It's really easy. You just click and you'll get straight in, and then you can book your slots, you know, a slot or several slots over the 10 days. And if you are not computer savvy, or if you haven't got a computer, just go to the office and ask them, and someone there will get you on, get you access to the site. But book an hour or book several hours over several days. If you come with friends, that's great. Particularly if you want to come during the night, you might want to come with someone. You'll need the code, which I think Dan can give you or the office can give you. Get in through the door there in the middle of the night. Come in. You'll find a Bedouin tent in the creche room and an opportunity to pray about a theme of being on the road and encountering Jesus. And then take your time to pray, as we've said, for the church, the world, the people that are in need. But please book your slot as soon as you can, because they'll go very quickly. And then watch out for other events on the notice sheet and the website. Back to Matthew 6, just to finish. Jesus talked about the way we pray there, and he made it clear that prayer was not for spiritual show, not so as to be seen or to be applauded. Our reward is not that we did the 3 o'clock slot in 3 o'clock in the middle of the night. It's between you and the Lord. If the Lord has warmed your heart or just given you a passion for this, between you and him, then take the opportunity to pray. And prayer will be rewarded and answered. That's what Matthew 6 is about. We're not to babble like the pagans. It's not to do with our lengthy words or attempts at arm-twisting God, because that doesn't work anyway. It's just simple, straightforward, trusting our Father who is good and who gives good gifts to his children. It's about relationship with him. He knows already what you and I need, and he knows what's on our heart. But he just wants us to come and ask him for it all, to spend time with him. Ask and it will be given you. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Take this opportunity to pray and to bring all these needs to the Lord. And we will see the atmosphere changed because God's in it. Okay, I'm going now to lead us in a few words of communion prayer, and then we'll break bread together.